Just a year ago, we had a video circulating of the secular nature of Europe and how Europe is a post-Christian nation. And if that is still true, Europeans are very hard to the gospel. Yet, all of these immigrants and migrants, not just coming from the Middle East, but also Africa, South America, God is bringing people there, and it's an open continent. You can preach the gospel, so people can be saved, and it is kind of re-energizing the church of Europe. And pray, though, that there would be more people that would go serve in Europe to reach all of these people. You see, there's not enough Europeans that are part of the church. I think I was looking at a statistic, 2-3% of the whole continent of Europe would claim to be evangelical Christians. And so there's a great need for workers as migrants come in, as Europeans are coming face to face with death during these terrorist attacks. They're beginning to once again think about spiritual things. Many are turning to spiritism and witchcraft, which is very dangerous and detrimental to the society and to human heart. Pray that the true gospel would come in and penetrate the lives of these people. Just a few faces to pray for. These particular people are working directly with refugees in some cases. You heard about Pamela in the video. There's the Flocks, the Crows, the Pasquales you heard from, and a host of others are working with refugees on a regular basis in Europe, and the Lord is seeing them. Well, they're coming to Christ, and the Lord is doing a great work there. Pray for these individuals as they serve. And finally, we go to South America. South America is a continent where the gospel is just spreading like wildfire. They are hungry and open for the gospel. And there's 750 assemblies in Brazil, many in Bolivia, Peru, Colombia. It's an exciting place to be. And now these same South Americans are going to places like Spain, China, India, as missionaries themselves. Perhaps South America will be the next great mission-sending continent of the world. Yet there's a great need for Bible teaching, and two new Bible schools have opened up, one in Bogota, Colombia, and one in Tarapoto, Peru. The one in Colombia was around for many years as a general Bible institute called the Emmaus Bible Institute, founded by Jim Fleming and others. But now Bill Loudon Jr. and Christian Ramirez have started up a segment of that called Fiel Bible Institute for leaders in churches, to train leaders to be good elders and good deacons and good leaders of ministries so that the assemblies can be strong by themselves. And the same is true in the jungles of Peru with Micah Tuttle and Jesse Maddox and Willie Cacho Hansen and other national workers, and they are working on these Bible schools. Pray for good Bible teachers and sound believers in these areas. And so as you see, God is truly working around the world. There's much to pray for. And I just hope this gave you a better glimpse into what is going on. And if you have questions, come and talk to us afterwards. And we'd love to share more of how you can be involved in encouraging and supporting these workers and possibly even going yourselves. I know we have some missionaries here. So if I know I see Chris Sanner back there and Sam Killens. If you have served on the mission field, if you wouldn't mind just standing up so that others can see. I know that's not necessarily your favorite thing to do, but I know I don't care. So it's great to see you guys with us, and please speak to them as well. Yes, we're so grateful for the work that they're involved with, and pray for them. I know the places where these brothers serve couldn't be more opposite. And yet, God has called them, and there's much to do. And so we'll turn the rest of it over to Tom. But thank you for your time.
Craig, I'd like to mention that a set of keys was left near the sign-in table, like this. If anybody signed in and didn't take the key,
Okay. Good afternoon. I thank you, Craig, for that report. It was great to hear that there are folks from the field here. I hear that, and I think that maybe you all should be standing here, and I should be sitting there for us to hear what you have to say. To close out this segment, I'd like to talk with you just for a few minutes about a side of missions that doesn't get as much attention, but is really very necessary, and that's the responsibility of the local church to send. And then the continuing relationship between those who send and those who were sent. Often we talk about sending. Often we talk about those who go as the central focus in a missions conference. But there's another side of the going, and that's the sending. I think that in probably every one of our sessions, somebody has put up Romans chapter 10. How are they going to call upon those who they have not believed? How shall they believe on him who they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? We've sort of worked our way through those verses. How shall they preach unless they are sent? Now, the sending of a missionary didn't start in the book of Acts. Sending is how the gospel started in the first place, because God sent Christ. Sending is how Jesus described his ministry. He did it at the very beginning, when it is the first day when he comes out of Capernaum and he says, I must preach the gospel, the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And then he did it at the end of his ministry. We said, then Jesus cried out when he was taught in the temple, as he taught in the temple, saying, you both know me and you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, who you do not know. Now, as I was preparing to come and talk to you today, that verse really struck me. You know, it's one of those verses that I've read many times, but that verse really struck me, because you can sort of take those words, you can put those words in the mouth of a commended missionary in a faraway land, talking to those to whom he is ministering, and they would fit perfectly. I have not come of myself. I have been sent. I've been sent by somebody that you don't know. You don't know the ones who sent me. I've been sent by somebody who's far away, and you don't know them, but you know me. And because you know me, you can have fellowship with the ones who sent me. And so I submit that when we talk about the concept of sending, and we talk about the responsibility of the church to send, we don't just start in the book of Acts. We start drawing lessons from the greatest sending, and that is the sending of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle John in particular is very, very big on this concept. Trying to find a verse in the Gospel of John that says that Jesus was sent is like trying to hit the water if you fall out of a boat. I count 40 different times that Jesus says that he was sent by the Father. In John 17, he almost defines the gospel as believing that Jesus was sent by God. I have given to them the words which you have given to me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. When Jesus talks about what we believe that God sent him. And the apostles pick up the same idea. In Acts chapter 3, Peter says, to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning you away from your sins. In the household of Cornelius, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching Christ through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And then when Jesus completed his ministry, he sent the Holy Spirit, he sent the apostles, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad. Jesus said to them, peace be with you, and as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. So I think that as we talk about the concept of sending, we don't necessarily have to begin in Acts like it's some new thing. We begin with the idea that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, during the break, I had a very positive, very good discussion, got some very good questions about something that I said last session, where I talked about the leadership of the church and that the leadership of the church is in elders and that there are not any apostles anymore. And it was pointed out quite rightly that the Lord Jesus Christ is the great apostle. He's called the apostle in the New Testament. He's the great apostle of our faith because he's been sent. That there are other people besides the 12 who are referred to. Barnabas is referred to as an apostle and those who are sent. So maybe just let me clarify exactly what I was saying. The word apostle does mean those who are sent in a generic sense. Apostle, if you will, capital A. The apostles are the ones that Jesus said, you are the witnesses of my resurrection. That's what they were sent to bear witness to. You are the witnesses of my resurrection. And they went out armed with an authority that none of us have. The Lord said to the apostles, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. I don't have that authority. Nobody that we send out has that authority to remit and retain sins. The apostles go out clothed with apostolic authority, clothed with apostolic power. Now today, though, we still do send. And as we preach, and those who are sent go, as if you will, our apostles. And the Lord Jesus Christ was first sent to God. And so we are sent as he is. To preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. As God sent Christ, so he sends us, and or he sent them, and so we send. And there's even a famous hymn, right? Says, the Father has sent me, so send I you. So what can we say about this obligation to send? I think, first of all, it's important for us to remember, to affirm, and to never forget that there is no more ministry that is more central to the church than is evangelism. There's nothing that is more central to what we do than spreading the gospel in evangelism. Not every Christian not every Christian is an evangelist, but every church should be evangelistic. Not every Christian is an evangelist, but every church should be evangelistic. As Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, that from them the gospel of Jesus Christ would sound forth and would go out, and I trust the Lord would say the same about every one of our churches. Being evangelistic is a lot more than winning converts. It's a lot more than holding rallies and getting people to sign up pledge cards. The Lord told us to go out and make disciples, not go out and get converts, but to go out and make disciples. Some years ago, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association made the decision, or at least were considering, and then made the decision to come to Baltimore, Maryland for what used to be called a crusade and today is called a festival. Franklin Graham would be the main speaker. Billy Graham would come, and as it happened, the very last time that Billy Graham ever spoke publicly was in Camden Yards in Baltimore. The BGEA sent in a team. They started to talk to the local churches. They talked to the business community. One of the first things they did was they had asked somebody to be the chair of the executive committee, somebody who was going to oversee the whole effort. That process took about a month, and in a moment of utter delusion, they asked me. That effort lasted, the festival lasted 3 days. In those 3 days, we brought 100,000 people to Camden Yards. But the effort lasted for 3 years, both before and after. The festival was 3 days. The convert part was 3 days. The preparation and the discipleship, that was going to take 3 years. It was a fantastic time of my life, and a lot of stories, a lot of events that I will never forget. This charge to make evangelism, this charge to make disciples, that's from the Lord himself. It's not something we've got to parse out of doctrine. It's not something we have to deduce by study. The responsibility to make disciples is as plain as it can be. And the scope and breadth of it, I think it was said in the video about how the door is wide open and how wide open the opportunities are. The breadth of opportunity is remarkable. Jesus describes it like all the nations, all the world, the end of the earth. You can't miss. You can't miss it. Paul said, I make it my goal to preach the gospel where it hasn't been heard before. I have to understand, we together have to understand, that evangelism is not the responsibility entrusted to a few chosen Christians who have a burden for the lost and are called by the Holy Spirit. Evangelism is the responsibility of the church. There are many different ways for a local church to participate in this commission to bring the gospel to the whole world. Not every church can or should try to do everything, but every church needs to be doing something. Most of us, I think, have our primary experience with evangelism locally, where the Lord, and I trust the Lord blesses every word that the word is preached. Vacation Bible school, children's programs, local outreaches, high school programs. Be involved wherever you can. Pray wherever you can. Outside your local area, short-term ministry teams can be sent. Money can be funded to relief efforts. Support can be provided to home workers. All those are good and right. But Jesus told us to go to all the world, to go to all nations. And the primary means by which a local church can bring the gospel to all the world is to send missionaries. Internet ministry is great. Praise the Lord. But I'm not quite sure that we can fulfill the Great Commission just by broadcasting on the internet. We need to make disciples. We do that by sending missionaries. We heard about the personal relationships that we build, and that's how the local church can take new ground for the gospel and help build local churches to hold it. In our second meeting, I talked about the example of the church at Jerusalem sending out Barnabas to Antioch. The lesson there is that they looked at the character of Barnabas, not just his desire, not just his calling, but his character. We learn more about that famously from Acts chapter 13. The biblical model by which missionaries are sent is commonly called commendation. In Acts 13, we learn that in Antioch, the Holy Spirit called Barnabas and Saul to missions work, and they were sent out. What's very striking to me is the role of the local church and its leadership, not only in commendation of Barnabas and Saul, but their ongoing involvement in the work. Acts 13 reports that the leadership of the church of Antioch was actively ministering and fasting. The word of the Lord just didn't come out of nowhere. It came when they were ministering and fasting, and this call of the Lord was given to the church. It was of Barnabas and Saul, but came to the church. And as the church fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, a physical and public demonstration that they were going out as an extension of the church body. And then the church at Antioch stays involved in that ministry. I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was heartwarming when one of your own shows up on this video and applause just spontaneously breaks out here. Acts 14 reports that at the conclusion of the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch, where they had been commended. They gathered the church together. They reported all that the Lord had done, how the doors of faith had been opened. Paul and Barnabas then stayed with the church a long time, not just here, hi, how are you, and gone. And shortly thereafter, Paul wrote his letter to the Galatians. Galatians is the first letter that Paul writes. He writes it, He goes primarily in Roman province of Galatia in his first missionary journey. He gets back to Antioch. When he gets back to Antioch, he realizes these problems. He realizes that people are following behind him, saying that you have to keep the law. And there are three things that he does there in Antioch. One, Luke says he has no small dispute. Luke had a wonderful way of understating things. No small dispute with those who are saying that. Secondly, they decide to send them to Jerusalem for the Council of Jerusalem. And third, he writes the book of Galatians. And when he writes the book of Galatians, in Galatians 1, it's so interesting how it starts. It says, Paul, an apostle, and all the brethren who are with me. It's not just me. It is all the brethren who are with me. The ones who sent me to you. This is a letter from a whole church. From the whole sending church to the area where it was being evangelized. And then in Acts 15, pattern repeats. As the Antioch commends Paul and Silas, and at the end of the second missionary journey, Paul again is back in Antioch and spends considerable time there. All of that is indicative of an ongoing, working, continual relationship between the sending church and those who have been sent. A relationship of responsibility of the church to the ministry and accountability of the ministry to the church. You know, in brethren assemblies, we often and rightly emphasize the commendation of those who are going out, the autonomy of the local church, that the missionary is going out in faith with his or her reliance on the Lord. But commendation is an event. It's the milestone event. It's a milestone event in the life of a person going on the mission field. It should be public. It should be memorable. It should involve the whole church. It's the time, it's the start of a time of service, but it's just the start. The same way that marriage is not a wedding. Marriage is more than a wedding. So the sending of a missionary is more than commendation. Commendation is a statement by the local church that this person is being sent out as an extension of us. The church is giving of itself. It's not just giving money to good causes around the world. It is literally giving of its own body. It is literally giving of its own flesh and blood. It is literally giving of itself to preach the gospel to all nations. The missionary can be many miles away in a culture far different than what we know, but still part of our fellowship. And just as the New Testament model requires the church to be responsible to the missionary, it requires the missionary to be accountable to the church, and not off independent of the church, but in close contact and responsible back to the elders. Paul made it a point to keep the church at Antioch involved, to keep them up to date. When he comes back, he would come back and spend a long time with them. Today's advances in technology have greatly shrunk the globe. We're better equipped than ever to bring the gospel to every part of the world. And we do that by sending for the church to be part of the mission and for the missionary to be part of the church. And there's, just to finish, there's this verse that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said that his ministry actually does not need a letter of commendation, but that the work itself and the fruits of that work are the epistle written on our hearts, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is the heart. And so may it be for each missionary who goes, and may it be for each church that sends. We're going to break. We are right on time. You know, you got to be impressed by that, by the people who organized this thing. We are right on time. We break for when do we come back together? What time do we come back together?
Prime time.
I'm sorry?
Prime time.
On time. Okay, we come back at 3 o'clock, And then we're going to have a panel, a question and answer time, and then a brief devotion, and then our conference will be over. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, for your mercies to us daily. And we pray, Lord, for these men and women on the field that we've heard of. We think of the workers that we've heard of in South America. We thank you for the good reports there. We thank you, Father, as they are building up, that they would become, indeed, a great mission-sending continent, that they would send people out. We pray, Lord, also for the unity of the churches there, that there would be a unity and purpose as they work together in sending and supporting missionaries. Pray for the workers in the southern part of Africa, as we've heard. We thank you for the testimony of the gospel. We thank you for the many missionaries that are there. We pray, Father, that the gospel would be strong and the ground would be held and that there would be a whole culture that is developed around the gospel. Pray, Father, for the northern part of Africa. We pray for open doors in a difficult and closed place. We pray for those who are trying to minister there, that you would keep them safe, that you would provide for their families and guard their families, and that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ would take root and take hold. Lord, the impact on our world, if the gospel took hold there, is beyond words. It's beyond words. We pray for the work in Europe, where at one time there was so much. We pray now, Lord, for those who are seemingly anxious to go another way. We pray that there would be, that as the gospel goes out by faith, that it would penetrate the postmodern attitudes, that it would penetrate those who see life entirely in an entirely secular way, and that those who are working there would be strong and determined, and that they would continue in your grace. We pray for those who are working in the Middle East, or in the Far East and in the Middle East. Lord, we pray for the countries that we've heard about where there are so few Christians. We pray, Father, that knowing that, as Paul said, that there were going to be those who are going to preach the gospel where it hasn't been heard before. And even in the world today, so many places where maybe it's been heard before, but it hasn't been heard in a long time. And so we pray for these places. We pray for the missionaries that we have thought of. We pray for their spiritual strength. We pray for their families. We pray for the raising up of their own children in the things of the Lord. We pray for their safety in this very difficult, in some very difficult and frightening places. We pray for their wisdom and the unity of Christians as they work together. We pray for those who are thinking about going, training to go, getting ready to go. We pray for the churches, Lord, that are going to send them. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for those that are known, that our brothers who are here, who serve on the field. We pray for those who we know that are on the field. We give thanks for them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, as it was said in Acts, Acts 11, that the hand of the Lord would be with them. We pray that your hand would be with them. And we give thanks in all things in Christ's name. Amen.